Yichyu should be a special schus. Rabbi Yoni Barasi Shiyichyu, Lischus. Rahan Yisrael ben Ramoshe Mordechai Feit Shlita, Lischus. Moshita ben Peshadina Haina Shlita, Bracha Batzlacha. B'chol Maase Yedehem. This is based on the Torah of Mori Barabi. Had Mor Mitolna Shlita. In Parashas Bo, the pasuk says, "Vayofu es habasek asher otziu mitzrayim ugos matzos ki lo chametz ki goshu mitzrayim lo chulis mahmea." V'gam tzeda lo asu lehem, and they baked the dough. They had taken out of Egypt as cakes of matzah because it didn't become leaven, because they were driven out of Egypt and they could not tarry, and also they hadn't prepared any supplies for themselves. Rashi comments, based on the Medrash and the Mechilta. V'gam tzeda lo asu lehem l'derech magid shvachan shal Yisrael shal amru hey achnu itzei l'midbar. And also, they had not prepared any supplies, Rashi says, for the way, laderech. This tells us the shevach, the praise of Klal Yisrael. They didn't say, how are we going to go into the desert without supplies? Rather, they had faith and they went, as it says in the Navi, I'll be reminded for you of the kindness of your youth, the love of your wedding day, that you followed me into the desert, in a land that's not planted. That's Hashem speaking about Klal Yisrael. What's the reward? The reward is Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Yisrael is sanctified to Hashem. Reishis Tuvasa, the first of his produce. So there's a number of nekudas in Rashi that have to be clarified. First of all, Rashi says that the fact that the pasuk says that Klal Yisrael went into the desert without supplies tells us that they were praiseworthy. Because they had faith that Hashem would provide for them. However, when you think about the fact that Klal Yisrael had several million people at that point, and they knew they were going to Har Sinai, which was some distance away, so it puts the shevach into question, the praiseworthiness into question. They wouldn't have been able to prepare and take sufficient quantities of food for so many people. And the fact that they didn't attempt to do so doesn't seem to warrant so much praise. What's the great shevach? How are you going to prepare so much food for so many people? They wouldn't have been able to anyway. Additionally, it says that the Jewish people left without supplies. However, in the pasuk right before it says, "Vagam erev rav ala itam vitzonu bakor mikne kaved me'od," and a great mix of people went with them, the erev rav, and they also had sheep and cattle and a tremendous amount of livestock. So, what does the pasuk mean when it says, "Oh, they went out with nothing"? Look at the previous pasuk; it says they went out with plenty. Pasuk says, "Tzeda lo asu lahem." They didn't prepare any supplies. So one would have assumed that the point of the pasuk was to bring out the fact that they didn't bring any supplies. It should say, "Hey viu." They didn't bring. That's the ikar. Why does it say lo asu? They didn't make for themselves. They didn't prepare for themselves. Should have better said, "Hey, viu, they didn't bring." That's the shevach. They went into the desert. They didn't bring supplies. Why does it say they didn't prepare? Rashi goes on to quote the continuation of the Medrash, which says that the schar for going in the midbar was that we were chosen by Hashem. So Rashi normally tells us pshuto shel mikra. So if Rashi is telling us that pshuto shel mikra, that the pasuk describes this whole story, tells the whole story to tell us about the faith of Klal Yisrael, that's great. It's a Jemuna. But why does it have to tell us the Schar? How does the Schar explain Pshat in the Pasuk? Another question is that even though they had a Muna, which is great, but why does, what's the Mida Keneged Mida? Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tuvasa. What's the Mida Keneged Mida of being chosen as Hashem's nation? They had Emuna, and they were chosen. We want to understand Mida Keneged Mida. So these are the questions that we'd like to deal with. Again, this is based on the Torah of Mori V'Rabbi, Admor Mitol Neshlita. From the Medrash that Rashi quotes, we see that relying on Hashem without any ishtadlis seems to be the best approach for a person to take in life. Gemara says a similar idea, Shechar Veis HaMikdash Sotem Memches HaMibbeis Zetra Pasku Anshi Amana Amar B'Yitzchak Eilu B'nei Adam Shem Ma'amina B'Kadosh Baruch Hu Sanya B'lezer Gadol Omer Kol Mi Shesh Lo Pas B'Sal Of Amar Alocha Lamocha Lamocha Reino Ola Mekatne Amana. By the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they are no longer men of faith. Rabbi Yitzchak says, these are the people of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we learn in the Brice, Rabbi Elazar Gadol says, that anybody who has bread in his basket to eat that day and says, what am I going to eat tomorrow? Is nothing other than those whose faith is weak. So you see that a person who worries about the next day, if he has for today, is called Mikatne Amana. So these chazals need to be understood because they seem to prescribe a very high level of emunah. And there are plenty of Jews who are very good Jews, Erlich Yidden, Voile Yidden, and they're involved in business and they make investments. And they don't just worry about what's going to be today, they make investments for the future. So is this telling us that you're not allowed to make investments? It's an aveira to invest your money for the future because you have for today. Well, what are you investing in the stock market for? You have for today. There were many Rabbanim to Menachem over the generations who were involved in business and they just weren't making enough for today. So are they Mikatne Amana? Very hard to understand. Also, the Gemara tells us that the men of faith ceased after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So it would appear that the level of emunah that these Jews reached had some inherent connection to the Beis HaMikdash. Shechar Beis HaMikdash Paska Anshei Amana. So what's the connection between Beis HaMikdash and the Midah of emunah? So in order to answer these questions, first we have to understand the circumstances in which Klal Yisrael had lived when they were subjugated in Egypt. Even Ezra writes, Shmos Ches Chav Beis, that the Egyptians were vegans. They didn't consume anything that was a derivative of any living being. Meat, fish, eggs, milk. So he explains that that's why Yosef needed to eat separately from the Egyptians when he ate with his brothers as he served them meat. And there's also why the Egyptians support shepherds. So if this was the case, we can conclude there are very few choices of satiating foods available in Egypt. And this choice would have been even more limited when it came to Jewish slaves. The Rambam writes that the reason why matzah is referred to as lechem oni is because this is what the Jews were given to eat while in Egypt. So says the Ramban. Abu Draham says that the reason why the Egyptians gave the Jews matzah is because it's digested slowly, so the Egyptians could sustain the Jews with a minimal amount of food. There's not so much food to feed the Jewish people. If they're not feeding their slaves anything from a living being, that really limits what they can eat. The Jews on their own, they can eat more, but the Jews, when they're enslaved to the Egyptians, who are makbid on veganism, according to the Ibn Ezra, so how much is there to eat? Very little. So now we can understand that since the Jews had lived for so many years in a land where people didn't eat meat, and the fact that they left Egypt with large quantities of livestock had no bearing on their level of emunah. Because for them, livestock wasn't food. Right? If they weren't allowed to eat, the slaves, they weren't allowed to eat regular food. Meat And when they see their livestock, they're not seeing food. So the livestock isn't going to help. We said before, why they had all this livestock. Yeah, but it's not food for them. Not only that, but after so many years of near starvation, they were given such small amounts of food. The fact they didn't prepare anything to take with them is significant, because human nature dictates that when people suffer from food deprivation, they become extremely concerned about where and how they're going to obtain their next meal. And they often hide away a part of their already meager portion out of fear they won't receive the next one. This was quite common in the concentration camps, and even among survivors, who many years after the liberation would still hide pieces of bread in their pockets, and sometimes even under their mattresses. Although the threat of hunger no longer existed, it took many years until they were able to free themselves from their fear of deprivation. With this in mind, it would most probably have been impossible for them to prepare adequate supplies for so many people on such a long journey. Nevertheless, the fact that they didn't prepare anything at all showed their tremendous reliance on Hashem, which enabled them to overcome the ingrained fear of deprivation that they must have suffered from. So it was amazing that they didn't prepare, because given their psychological state, they should have prepared whatever they could. Even though they wouldn't have had enough for everybody, but just the fact that they were so tired of starving, they should have taken as much as they could, and they didn't, so they relied on Hashem. And that's why the pasuk says, Lo Asu, not what they didn't bring. Lo Asu, they didn't prepare, because they had to overcome their ingrained tendency to grab something small and set it aside just in case, which is the nature of people who are suffering. They didn't do that. So they were connecting to Hashem, and they disregarded their concerns about what they would eat. So we can explain that this act was worthy of the reward they received, because when Hashem saw that the Jews had chosen Him over their physical needs, and other nations are generally more concerned with their physical needs, so He rewards Klal Yisrael, Mida Keneged Mida. You choose me, I choose you. That's Emunah. Emunah is Dveikus. It says in Svarim, Svasemis, and others. So we were Dveik B'Hashem, Hashem is Dveik in us. So He chose us. And Rashi told us the reward. Why does Rashi tell us the reward? Because look at the power and depth of a seemingly minor act. What an incredible lesson the Pasuk is telling us. Pasuk is telling us, that's what Torah is. Torah is Torah's Chaim. It's telling us how to live. So it's telling you that you think, oh, it's not such a big deal. The fact that they didn't prepare food, if somebody would say that, and the Pasuk says, no. A display of Emunah and Hashem is what gave us the chosen people status. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tuasa. And it wasn't something small, it was something huge. You're right, they couldn't have prepared enough food anyway, but it doesn't matter. They should have prepared whatever they could have according to their psychological state, but they didn't prepare anything. So that's what the Pasuk is teaching us. The Pasuk is telling us what the schar for Emunah is. You choose Hashem, Hashem chooses you. So what made Klal Yisrael's act so powerful was the fact they were willing to pass on something that they were used to having, the added sense of security. You have a little bread stashed away for later. And they did so, they overcame that in order to connect to Hashem. So that's what Chazal were saying when they said somebody who has bread in his basket and says, what am I going to eat tomorrow? The way that Chazal described this person's behavior emphasizes what he says. It's not the problem what you do. You're allowed to invest in the future. But you shouldn't say, oh, what am I going to eat tomorrow? You're allowed to take actions. You're not allowed to worry about it. You take actions for the future. You don't worry what's going to be in the future. It's a big difference. Kol mi sheyesh lo pas b'salo. If he says, what am I going to eat tomorrow? Now, do what you're allowed to do. But you're not allowed to say. You're not allowed to be worried about the future. The future. You have for today, what are you worrying about the future for? But you're allowed to do. That's normal hishtadlus. That's the way the world works. So such a person is not mikat ne'amana. So if he's doing it because that's the way we're supposed to live in this world, and that's what Hashem commanded us to do business and to make a living, then that's fine. But if he has fear about the future, then that's not so fine. Sfasemis writes that every Yom Tov, when the time came to fulfill the mitzvah of going to the Beis HaMikdash at the Regel, Hashem would give Klal Yisrael an extra measure of Siyata Dishmaya. They'd be able to fulfill this mitzvah, even though it's difficult. It required a person to leave behind his home, his possessions, his livelihood, for an extended period of time to go to Yerushalayim. At the same time, the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel gave the Jews the ability to shift their focus from their worldly comforts to their spiritual needs. The Sfasemis goes on to explain the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel was given to Klal Yisrael. And the merit of the fact they went into the wilderness with even less comforts they had been used to in Mitzrayim. So Mida Keneged Mida, they were given a mitzvah that would enable their descendants to reach levels of emunah that they otherwise would not have been able to attain. So we understand that once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jews no longer have the ability to fulfill the mitzvah, and they no longer have the extra Siyata Dishmaya. And that's why Mishachar of Beis HaMikdash Pasku Anshei Amana. We don't have such great believers anymore, because the Beis HaMikdash gave us Siyata Dishmaya to have a lot of emunah, and we lost that. So we should be zochem mir to Hashem to go mala mala in our emuna, our dveikus b'Hashem. Shalom, shalom. Thank you so much for that.